and the realization that it had to be by God's power, it had to be by His Son, and that what I had to do was believe that Jesus did it all, and that I had to trust Him because I was a gone gosling without Him. When that happened and I trusted Christ, I asked Him for salvation and I received it, and my quest for salvation was over. So looking for salvation was finished. But what I should have done then, and what I could have done, was this. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I could have put my life and heart in God's church there. And people could have seen revealed in me a young man who was going to live for Christ and a young man who was going to do what Christ wanted him to do in the church from that day and forward. But instead, what they saw revealed was a very self-centered, self-serving man who wanted attention, recognition, and praise, who wanted all the things that life has to offer, and who went out seeking the things of the world rather than the things of God. I would wish to God I hadn't, but it's spilt milk, it's over, and forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But when God saves you, He wants your life to reveal something to the people around you and the people that follow. You know, from faith to faith, as I went around those tombstones and I looked at those people, I know what their lives are like. They're recorded. We have records of it. Those people were faithful in church. My forefathers were, my father wasn't, but up until my father was saved and baptized in that church, and yet my father followed the ways of the world. And his son almost did the same thing. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, he used the parents of my father to teach me what my father should have done and did not do. I love my father. I will not say anything evil about him or bad about him, but my father wasted his life. In one sense, from a negative standpoint, it had a dramatic influence on my life. And the very fact that my father wasted his, God told me, Tom, don't you do that. And he did it through his word and by the very parents that raised him. Now, what we're supposed to be looking for after salvation is a city. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, when it says the just, it's talking about a person that's already justified, somebody that's already saved, somebody that was looking for salvation and found it in Christ. That's a saved, justified person. But then it says shall live by faith. That's looking for a city. So when you live your life by faith after you're saved, what you're really doing is looking for a city which was promised by God because you believe that His promises are true. You know, the tragedy is I got saved, knew I didn't have to go to hell. I did not even know there was a heavenly city. I didn't even know that there was a place that God had promised those who were faithful. I knew nothing of it. Now, I don't blame anybody. I blame myself and myself alone. I was raised at most of the time where they preached salvation Sunday morning, salvation Sunday night, salvation Wednesday night. So if I seem to be tilted overly the other way, and you wish I'd be more evangelistic, it's hard for me to do that because I feel so inwardly dejected because I wasn't taught a lot of that when I was young. And consequently, every message was about salvation. Well, I thank God for that. But I needed to be taught how to live by faith. I needed to be taught the advantages and the promises of God. I didn't know what the promises of God were. I thought once you got saved, that was it. And I was much older before I ever discovered the other. Maybe I just didn't listen. I'm not blaming anybody but myself. Looking for salvation. John 11, 25, 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? My answer is yes, I do. If you're alive and you believe in Him and Him alone for your salvation, you will never die. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are spiritually united with Almighty God. You've been born again. You've been reunited with God. The bond will never be broken. You will never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Believest thou this? Well, if you've got salvation, thank God for it. But let's take a look at what it's meant to follow salvation. In Galatians 2, 20 and 21, this is looking for a city. I am crucified with Christ. That's salvation. Nevertheless, I live. That's the new birth. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the new birth. That's salvation. That's settled. You've looked for salvation. You found it. Now, what does it mean, then, looking for a city after you're saved? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I've heard preachers say, and quite frankly, I said it myself when I was younger in ministry, well, of course, we can't be like the Apostle Paul. I never should have said that, because Paul said he was our example. I don't know why I can't be, because I've got the same Spirit of Christ within me. I've got the same Savior. I've got the same Lord. I've got the same God. You say, well, he had a special commission from God. He was apostolos. Well, I still believe that a man can be like the Apostle Paul if he'll yield himself to the same spirit that indwelt Paul. And I think it's a defeatist attitude when you give up and say, well, I can't be like that or I can't be like that. You can be anything that you want to be as long as you are doing it by the Spirit of Christ within you in accordance with His will. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And if you learn what's lawful in that word and what's not lawful and the way God says to do it and the way God says not to do it, and you try to live your life according to the Word of God, I tell you that you can do it. You can't live above sin, but you can do it. Now, when I was early in the ministry, I thought I knew a lot. I knew very little. Now I think I don't know very much. So I think maybe I know a little now because I don't think I know very much. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain, looking for a city. Let's talk about what it really means to look for a city. First of all, you have to be saved. And if you're not saved, you don't even want to look for this city. You don't understand what it is. You have no need for it. But now you know Christ. Here's an old man named Abraham, and here's a man who was saved. He was a man who'd been justified. The just shall live by faith. He was a justified man, and he looked for a city. By faith, shall live by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He went into the promised land. It was a strange new country to him. It was the land of promise, and yet he lived in it, and it was not his. We are now living on an earth that one day we will return in glorified bodies, and we will rule and reign on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we are living in the very country that to us today is strange. The problem is, from age about 23 to 38, what I did, instead of letting this be a strange country and just sojourning in it like I was passing through, I made this world my life. And the things that were in the world attracted me, and the things that my flesh wanted drove me and motivated me, and I was a slave to my flesh, even though I was a bought and paid for servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would not recognize it. And I lived for self rather than Christ. Here's a man who was in the country he would one day possess in the form of his ancestors, and one day on this earth he will dwell in a spiritual kingdom. For 1,000 years on this earth, I'll be here. And this country in which I am living, I'm just supposed to pass through as a pilgrim. I'm not to establish permanent roots here and let my carnal man dominate my way of thinking and control my life. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I've got the same promise that Isaac had, that Jacob had, and that Abraham had. There is a city that God has described beautifully in great detail. And actually, in Revelation 21:22, it is a real city. It's genuine. It's not figurative. It's not imaginary. It's not symbolic. It is a real city that God Himself has made. And God promises me, as His child, if I will live by faith, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I will live by the faith of the Son of God, meaning the Son of God that indwells me as He leads me through His Word to study it, to desire it, and then to apply it, to observe it. God says you can live there in that place and you can enjoy the inheritance and the benefits of heaven that are too numerous and too wide spanned to understand in the human flesh. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a real promise of God. It's a city. After you get saved, you're supposed to start looking for that city, and you're supposed to live by faith based on the promise of that city. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, I had a fellow that just kept after me, and he kept saying, Brother McElmurray, over there in the book of Revelation, he kept saying, that city is the bride. He said, the bride is a figurative thing. It's not real. He said, it's not made up of people. He said, the city is the bride. And he took me over there to Revelation and showed it was prepared as a bride. And then I took him through and showed him all the colors, but that didn't convince him. Then he took me over a little further on the chapter, and he showed me how God said to John, and I will show thee the bride, the holy Jerusalem. And the next verse, he mentions the city, and that proved it. Finally, I just told him, okay, what does this verse say? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I said, who built this city that you think is the bride? He said, God. Then I said, how come it says in Revelation 19:7, the bride hath made herself ready? Think about that. How could the city make itself ready if she's the bride? God made the city. So when it says the bride hath made herself ready, it has to mean a person or persons that make up the bride that made themselves ready, because God made the city. And if the city is the bride, the city didn't make itself ready. God made it ready, and God built it. Romans 6, 6 through 8. Now, let's talk about living by faith. Some people have the idea that living by faith is just mamas and the papas and the little folks too. Well, everybody ought to go to Sunday school. Let's be faithful. Let's go to church. Let's go to Sunday school. Let's go to preaching. Let's go to Sunday night. Let's go to Wednesday night. Let's be faithful in attendance. Let's give. Let's do that. And let's turn into mechanical robots that do everything just like this without any proper motivation. Should you do all that? Well, absolutely. But I'm telling you that when you talk about looking for a city, there has to be an inner intrinsic motivation of wanting to please God, because you believe that God is real and that God has done just what he said, and you're acting based on God's word because you believe his promise. Knowing this, Romans 6, 6 through 8, that our old man is crucified with him. You got crucified with Christ when we got saved, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now take a look at this next verse. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We are not freed from the ability to commit sin. We are not freed from the ability to commit sin. But we are set free from the inability to fight sin. We are set free from the inability to fight sin. You can't fight sin until Christ is in you. And that doesn't mean you're freed from the ability to sin. You can still sin in the flesh. But it means you are set free from the inability to fight sin. And now with Christ in you, you can fight the old man and the old carnal nature. And if you don't fight, there's no victory in the life you live for Christ. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, when we are crucified with Christ, we are buried with Christ, and we are resurrected with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Not sin being eliminated and forever driven out of our lives and our existence, for it was still in our flesh. But now we don't have to serve sin anymore. Before you got saved, you were a servant of sin. You had no ability to fight against it whatsoever. But once you got saved, then you had the ability to fight against sin. And when these verses of Scripture talk about being freed from sin, it's talking about freed from the inability to fight it. Now you can fight it. Now you don't have to be a servant of sin. Now you can live for Christ. Now you can get down and ask God to help you not to do this and not to do that and not to do this and not to do that. You can't live above sin. And you're going to slip, because there is sin in your flesh. But my friend, when you sin, God's Spirit convicts you, and you have an advocate with the Father, and you ask for forgiveness, and then God picks you up, and you fight, 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 fight against it. It's a fight. If there's no fight in your life, then something's wrong. I have problems with sin, all kinds of problems. And sometimes I guess people get the idea from the way I preach that I've just given up. I haven't given up. I'm dead with Christ. I've been resurrected with Christ. And I'm going to live with him. We believe that we shall also live with him. I'm going to live with him. He's in me. He's alive. I'm no longer, when we are born physically, we are dead to God in trespasses and sin. When we are born physically, We are dead to God in trespasses of sin. But when we are born spiritually, we are dead to sin. We are set free from being a slave to sin. We don't have to serve it anymore. Before then, we have no ability to battle. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law. What does that mean? 52 years ago, the law said to me, Thou shalt not bear false witness. And I kept telling grandmother a lie every time I got in trouble to get out of it. And the law said to me, Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And I stood out and looked at Lulabeth Fox undressed at night. And the law convicted me. I knew it was wrong. I knew I was a sinner. And God's law convicted me. But when I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, He crucified with me with Him. I was resurrected with Him. And now I have the ability to fight. Now, you don't see me peeping out windows anymore. And I'm not a peeping Tom anymore. And you ladies don't have anything to fear about. Because I've got Christ living inside me. And He's a fighter. And I trust Him. And I am now dead to the law because the law led me to Christ. And when the law made me see what a dead, helpless sinner I was, then I received Christ. I was made alive in Christ. I'm alive toward God. And now I can fight the battle because Christ is in me and Christ fights the battle. You don't have to be a slave to sin. So don't use sin as an escape artist like I'm just a sinner, I can't help it. Fight, fight, fight until you draw your last breath. What am I really trying to say? That's what looking for a city is. You think Abraham enjoyed all those things he went through? You think that old man didn't go through trial and tribulation and testing? My friend, you're going to go through the same testing, and so am I. It's the fight that we put up that God looks at and says, there's somebody that's going to endure. There's somebody that loves me. There's somebody that cares. There's somebody that's going to keep on trying. So how do you look for a city? If ye then be risen with Christ. I've been risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above. That's the way you look for a city, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. John, the BTC lesson, was saying, I don't want to misquote him, but I like what he said. He said, we don't have to take time to see all the additional things that God has promised us in heaven. And we don't have to wait for all of those things that aren't in the Word. The inheritance is there, and it's waiting. It's something that God has already reserved for us. It's a living inheritance, and Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, and there's a city three-fifths the size of the United States, and there's a throne, and there's an opportunity to serve, and there's an opportunity to work for God. Set your mind and your heart on those things which are above. That's what it means to look for a city. Don't become a permanent fixed abode in this world in which you live. Don't let your flesh make you love this world so much that it means more to you than serving Christ in His church while He's here. Don't let anything come between you and the local visible body of Christ that we call the church. Set your affection on the things which are above, because the inheritance of God for the saints in the church for this age is beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So now, I have Christ in me. When I start to look and I see things I shouldn't be looking at, I turn my head away and say, God, forgive me and strengthen me and help me. When I'm tempted and put in a corner and preachers are bragging about how many people they had in church last Sunday, I'm tempted to add an additional 10, then I cut it off and say, no, Lord, and turn my head away. It's not that I'm not tempted. It's not that I don't have affliction and trials. But God says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Who cares about things on the earth to the extent that you're going to lie about it, that you're going to lust over it, or you're going to desire it more than the promises of God in heaven? You've got a new nature, and you've got to fight against the evil in your flesh, and you've got to try to overcome the evil in your flesh, and you need to fight it every day, and you need to fight it until the last day you breathe. This isn't something which, and most people treat this as something you just come to church, and that's what you're supposed to do, and here I am. Here is where God's word is preached. Here is where God's word is taught. Here is where people see where their affections are supposed to be set. There is the living word of Almighty God written by the Holy Spirit without error. And brothers and sisters in Christ, when God's Holy Spirit has something to say, you better listen to it. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ and God. The devil can't touch me. I'm hid with Christ and God. I'm dead to the law. I'm dead to sin. Dead to sin, not in the sense that I can't sin. Dead in the sense that I used to not have any ability to fight sin when I was lost and without Christ. But now I have a new spirit, a new creature inside me, a new man inside me, and he's a fighter. And if I'll just turn him loose and feed him the word of God and let him grow spiritually, he'll fight like a Burmese tiger. But you've got to feed him, and you've got to want him to grow, and you've got to desire the sincere milk of the word, because if you don't feed that man, he's not strong enough to stand against the flesh. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You've got to feed that man. That's why we're so anxious for people to come to church and listen to God's word and understand it, because it's spiritual food. And as the spiritual man is strengthened inside you, then the war against sin in your flesh is ever increasing, and you can be more and more victorious. You can never be sinless in life, but you can learn to put up a better and better fight every day as you come to church, listen to God's word, understand it, know what's going on inside you, and determine by the grace of God that's in you to put up a fight to the finish by the Spirit of Christ that indwells you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And when he comes, here's what I'm going to be judged for. Mortify, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. This is the way you look for that city. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm capable of doing any one of all of those things. I'm capable of desiring the things of this world to the extent that they become a god unto themselves, and I put other gods before my God, which is idolatry. I'm capable of a fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and all these things. But by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, I have a spirit living inside me that is the very spirit of the King of the universe who saved me and came to live in me. And now there's a fight to be fought, and there's a war that goes on inside. And I need to put to death those things by the power of Christ within me. And I'll never be sinless as long as I'm in this flesh. But by the grace of God, I can put up a better and better fight if I'll learn God's word, if I'll know what God's word is, and if I'll apply it to my life. And if you don't do that, if I don't do it, we're going to be held accountable before God. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You've got to put the flesh to death. You say, but you can't. He's always there. But man, you can fight him and you can knock him down and you can keep him knocked out for a while. He'll make a comeback, but keep fighting. And one day, God's going to change even him. Colossians 2:20, 22. Therefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? So many different churches, many of them right here in this town, they're all this type of thing. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. They weigh heavy burdens and place them on men's shoulders like the scribes and Pharisees of old. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a spiritual warfare that goes on inside us that is past all these things of the commandments and the laws of the Old Testament. And it is this spiritual battle by the new birth of Christ within us that we are to fight daily. And if we'll come and listen and study God's word, if we'll study at home and feed that spiritual man, we'll be a blessing to the world, we'll be a blessing to the church, and we'll be a blessing to one another. Nothing can replace the word of God, because it is the spiritual food that makes us able to fight against the flesh. And our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. What shall we say then? Romans 6:1 and 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. He's alive in us, and the more of our lives that we turn over to him, and the weaker our flesh becomes as far as its ability to fight against our spirit, and the stronger our spirit becomes by being fed the word of God, and the more we battle against it and are determined that we will be about our Father's business, and that we will fight against the natural sin of our flesh, then the more God's church is glorified, the more God himself is glorified, and the more Jesus Christ gives glory to his Father through the church, world without end. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15. For the love of Christ constrained us up, because we just judged that if one died for all, then we're all dead. It's the love of Christ inside us. Do you think a natural man loves the church? Do you think that the love I have for you and the compassion I have for you and the desire I have for you and the things that are of my nature, do you think I was a good old boy from Woodruff County who just naturally loves you? Forget it. The reason I love you is because Christ came into me some 52 years ago. And he's the one that loves you, and he's the one that's trying to teach me how to love. And I'm a soul that's trying to grow up, that's been saved by his grace, and so are every one of you. There's a fight. There's a war. It's daily. It goes on. It never stops. Don't quit fighting. And when you get mad, get over it. When you get sad, get glad. When nothing seems to go right, pray and trust God. And praise God in answer for deliverance even before you receive it. Have faith and confidence in God and that new spirit that indwells you. And know the word of God and know who he is. And the love of Christ constrains you. And that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I love it. Because I believe I understand it. Once you get saved, when you start living by faith and looking for a city, what does God want? That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. God says, you're my child. Quit living unto yourself. I died for you. I made you alive. My son is alive in you. Quit living to yourself. Start being about your Father's business. Quit having to be motivated and led and prodded around like a sheep. Start being someone who takes responsibility, someone who starts wanting to please me. Don't just live your life for yourself, for your car, for your television, for your home, for your job, for your profession, for your future, for your welfare, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's what it means looking for a city. I'm very ashamed that I was 38 years old before I started looking for that city. You young couples, I know I'm not the best pastor in the world, and I know there's lots of shortcomings that I have. Maybe I ought to be more interested in a lot of things that you're interested in. But I do love you. And I do know what the Word of God teaches, and I do want the best for you. Stay faithful in God's church. Look for things you can do in it. Don't get so tied in with the world that that becomes your oyster, because you'll regret it later on in life. Don't wait until you get to be an old man before you serve God, because then you'll have deep regret of what went on before. Start serving him now. I wish that we were all like Timothy. Timothy's one of my favorites. And I guess he's my favorite because I wasn't like Timothy. And I deeply regret that. I could have been. And it's nobody's fault but my own. But wherever you are in life, don't waste the time that you have left. Start looking for a city and making your life count for something in God's church while you still have time. As Johnny comes, as Kay comes, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is, as I've always said each time, a personal matter between you and His Spirit. Don't live your life just for yourself. Live it for Jesus. Living for Jesus is battling the flesh. The flesh will try to deceive you, mislead you, direct you in ways that God doesn't want. You put the Lord first in your life, and all these other things will be added unto you. You want inward peace and happiness and security? There's more security in Jesus than in riches. There's more security in Jesus than all the things the world has to offer. It isn't just security of salvation. It's security of a future. God has never made his children beg bread. You say, well, people get hungry sometimes. But he always delivers. You say, well, what if I starve to death? What a wonderful way to meet Jesus, having sacrificed for him and giving up the things of the world because you loved him. What number?